Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Well, good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our, I used to say weekly, but we'll say monthly. Monthly, vigorous, relentless, and sometimes ruthless pursuit of freedom. Broadcasting live from the extraordinarily well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. And it is my pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and the host of Well Armed Radio, and encourage you to be a part of the show, though I'm starting this broadcast at 10:30 p.m. on Sunday. So was either going to do a show at like 7 or later, and I ended up picking the later slot. So knew I wouldn't have a lot of live listenership, but since most people listen to the podcast, I figured we'd go ahead. And since I haven't been on the air in a month, and I've had some topics, I think maybe the first week after my last show, I didn't really have any topics, and I'm not going to force it. If I don't have anything that tickles my fancy, then I don't do a show. But I've had a few topics, and they're somewhat evergreen, that I've had kind of queued up for a little while here. And so I just have been busy enjoying the weekends. So, but we're back at it at 2023. Happy New Year. And get things rolling here. I start the show with the usual warning. No sacred cows here. If you are listening live and you want to call the show, 563-999-3787 is the studio number, 563-999-3787. But start the show with the usual warning. No sacred cows here. Did I already start the show with the usual warning? I think I did. So there's two, the usual warning twice. And we won't even bother with making the comment about the first 15 minutes for open line, because broadcasting so late, I don't think that we'd have anybody calling in for open line. So I had a few things queued up this week, some gun stories, and a couple things that I was going to talk about. Several of these fall under the same theme, and it's a recurring theme, and that's even all the more reason why I think that Republicans just miss opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And I don't envy, you know, I never wish I was a Democrat, because you know, that would be wishing to be a whole bunch of things I'd never want to be, like uninformed, or uninformed at best, stupid at worst, tyrannical, untrusting of your fellow man, hypocritical. You know, I could go on and on with the pejorative adjectives to describe Democrats and liberals. I just, I think that the Democrat philosophy, the Democrat platform is somewhat, well, not somewhat, it's immoral. It leverages coercion and theft by government. And it, consists of power grab over your fellow man and imposing your will on your fellow man, all things that I consider to be immoral. And so, so I don't wish that I was a Democrat ever, but I do wish that Republicans had the, and I say Republicans, I'll say, Republican, again, painting with a broad brush here, but Republican voters, Republican elected Republicans, and I guess I could even say, you know, Republican media, because I don't think that they do the greatest job on some of these things I'm about to talk. But to start with, I really want to talk about playing offense, because there's so many times when, first off, I believe morality is on the side of conservatives. I believe that truth is on the side of conservatives. I believe that success, proven efficacy of policies, all those kinds of things are on the side of conservatives. I mean, take the gun issue. The realities of the Second Amendment issue all favor conservatives. The facts have proven conservatism, and when I say conservatism, freedom, I'll just back it up to a step of freedom. Freedom has been proven to work. I mean, even the freedoms, self-reliance, accountability, consequences for actions. Again, I'm not a libertarian anymore. I got over that Kool-Aid, but governments are instituted among men to protect rights, to protect the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Governments are instituted among men by the consent of the governed. This is straight out of the Declaration of Independence. By the consent of the governed. So without government, you don't have your inalienable rights protected. We need government to protect inalienable rights, because without government, then the battle goes to the strong. And that doesn't protect people's rights. Without government, the people with the most guns or the strongest win. But with a constitutional limited government that is focused on protecting people's rights as its core mission, I mean, I think about, you can take that to any number of examples. Think about a police officer. If a police officer thinks that their core mission is to enforce the law, it's not. The core mission of a police officer is to protect people's rights. The law is a tool that they use to protect people's rights, but the core mission is to protect people's rights, not to enforce the law. That's why police officers have discretion. That's why, I mean, it's, enforcing the law is not the end goal. Protecting people's rights is the end goal. And that's a good way to critique the behaviors of government. Is this protecting people's rights or telling people what to do? Because if it's protecting people's rights and the equal station of people's rights, it's a moral law. But if it's telling people what to do, giving one favoritism over another, redistributing wealth, you know, immoral. So this whole preamble here to my first topic is to say that there's Democrats have to lie and misrepresent the truth to use the news cycle to their advantage. And they've got an assist from the liberal media. But Republicans, truth and history and facts are all on our side. Whether it comes, and again, freedom works, accountability works, individual accountability, even the pilgrims figured that out. The pilgrims, if you ever have a chance to read about On Plymouth Plantation, it's a book that was written. It's essentially the diary of, is it William Bradford? I think it's William Bradford. The diary of William Bradford, who was one of the pilgrims, when they first started, they kind of organized themselves as a commune. They had a central store, central repository where everybody contributed foods and grew crops for and took what they needed. And so the thought was everybody's going to contribute to this central repository. And then you take only what you need and contribute what you can. Well, doing it that way, they damn near all starved to death. And it's because human nature, you know, a lot of things have changed, culture has changed, but human nature has not changed in 2,000 plus years. Human nature is still the same. Humans have virtues and vices. Freedom leverages people's virtues. Authoritarian government leverages people's vices. So what they did with Plymouth Plantation when they almost damn near starved to death is they said, hey, you know what? They saw the people that sat around and did nothing and ate the same as people that were busting their ass, growing crops, harvesting crops. So then they came and they said, hey, everybody's going to fend for themselves. You cook it, you grow it, you eat it. You grow it, you cook it, you eat it. You hunt it, you kill it, you eat it. You don't grow it, you go hungry. And hunger is a great human nature. Hunger is a great motivator. When you're hungry, you'll do something to not be hungry. And that means getting off your ass and growing corn, going out and hunting, fishing, whatever you got to do to put food on the table. And the pilgrims figured that out hundreds of years ago. And yet we still have liberals in government thinking that you can solve problems by giving people something for nothing. That was one of my dad's sayings. He said to me, he's like, Nick, you don't get something for nothing. And he didn't say this part, but I had this caveat, unless it's coming from the government. And even then, it's not something for nothing. It's comes with a price. The price is your freedom. The price is your independence. The price is your self-sufficiency. When you start taking from things which you did not earn, you condition yourself to forget how to earn them. You forget how to produce them. So everything is on the side of conservatism. Truth, history, the proof of concept of freedom, it's all on Republicans. It's all on the conservative side. Freedom has a track record of 100% success. Not perfection, but 100% success. When you see failures of governments, of economies, it's not the fault of freedom or capitalism, it's the fault of government imposition, of government sticking its foot in the game of free markets. And so what I'm getting to, again, my point here is that if you turn on the news, virtually all of the problems of society have a conservative solution, and it's glaring and it's obvious to some. And yet we can't find Republicans in, I'll just say, in Madison or D.C. And there's a few. Again, I'm painting with a broad brush, but there's a few. But it's so hard to find Republicans willing to stand up and fight. Let me rephrase. Willing to play offense, willing to use the news cycle to their advantage. And so, like, the first example I'll use here, this was from several weeks back. And if you're not following Wisconsin Carry on Twitter, follow it, because I've, since Elon Musk has taken over, I've been tweeting more. But the first example I'll give, this is a story from Channel 6. This was, again, a couple weeks ago. New Year's resolution that I have for Republicans is to play offense. So Channel 6 in Milwaukee did a story about vehicle break-ins at Bucks games. So it's a big story. And again, this is wagging the dog. This is taking a page from the Donald Trump playbook of learning how to wag the dog, wag the media dog. How do you wag the media dog? You've got to use the media, the things where the media thinks that the public is on their side, but they're actually on the side of conservatism. Example, the border. The border, the news would have you believe that it's at best 50-50, or mostly just Republicans want to close border and Democrats want to open border, but it's not. It's like a 75-25 or 80-20 issue. So if you have used immigration as a platform issue, if you use immigration as a campaign issue, you can speak to the freedom angle of protecting our borders in order to protect citizens' rights, and the media will cover it because they think they're making you look like a crazy Looney Tune, but you're actually getting an in-kind campaign ad because people really are on your side. That's the same thing with crime. Crime is an 80-20 issue favoring getting criminals off the streets, not this restorative justice, not this ending cash bail. It's like an 80-20 issue. So the media will report that. The media won't report like, trying to think of a good one. I'll come back to that. But there's things where the media won't just report because they know that it makes the case for Republicans, and they don't want to do that. So you have to take issues where the Democrat media thinks that putting this issue on blast is going to make Republicans look loony, crazy, extreme. And it actually backfires because most people support it. And again, immigration, crime, voter ID, that was something that like 80% of the people supported. And I would argue even right-to-carry issues. Right-to-carry issues, I think, are – and everybody falls off the wet – not everybody – you know, people fall off the wagon somewhere. There's people who support right to carry. They even say they're pro-Second Amendment, but you don't need an assault rifle. So, I mean, but in general, people, the right to keep and bear arms is like an 80-20 issue. And again, you get down to, should people be able to own assault weapons? And maybe it drops to, I don't know, 60-40, 55-40. You know, I don't know the metrics. You know, I'm just speculating. So, here you got a story that Fox 6 is willing to cover because it makes it seem like perhaps guns are the problem. So Fox 6 does a story about vehicle break-ins at the Bucks game in the parking garages. So this happens because thugs know that everyone is away from their car for 3 hours. I think that would be about how long a Bucks game takes. By the time you walk there, the game, come back. So they know everyone's away from the car for 3 hours. So they know that parking garage is essentially a target of opportunity for 3 hours versus like a mall. If you go to a mall and there's constantly people coming in, coming out, and even you pick a particular vehicle or a row of vehicles, someone could be coming out any minute because a mall doesn't have a start and end time. I mean, certainly, you know, they have a closing time, but throughout the day, people might be there for an hour, half hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, 15 minutes. You just never know when people are coming out. So a Bucks game is a target of opportunity for thugs. And thugs also know that Fiserv bans carry. And you've got a whole bunch of law-abiding little suburbanites who follow the law, come down for Bucks games, and leave guns in the car. So it's a perfect – the signatures are all there for a perfect opportunity for thugs. You got a place where people aren't going to be for 3 hours. And you know they're not going to be there for 3 hours. You know there's those non-street savvy suburbanites who follow the law and leave their guns in the car. And many suburbanites are going to take their gun because even if they don't carry on a regular basis, I mean, geez, they're going to Milwaukee and they see Milwaukee on TV and they're like, oh, hell yeah, I'm taking my gun to Milwaukee. But then they leave it in the car. And there's now a rash. This was reported by Fox 6. It's a thing with break-ins at parking garages during Bucks games. And so the sentiment is, you know, you should leave, and they even said it, you should leave your gun at home. Like, that's the solution. And no, the solution is actually to play offense. And this is where conservative talk radio, WISN, should be taking out the opportunity to play offense. And so Vicki McKenna, she'd be the only one to take on that kind of a topic. I actually sent a message to her, but she was, I think she was on vacation. This is right over the Christmas to New Year's holiday. So by the time she got back, it was probably, you know, three pages down her emails. But Dan O'Donnell for sure won't. Dan O'Donnell's not a Second Amendment kind of guy. Jay Weber, he probably wouldn't think of the angle because he's not used to playing offense on gun issues. And I like Jay, generally speaking. I can't stand talk radio anymore. I don't listen to Jay Weber. He's just too much Trump bashing, too much trying to put Dan O'Donnell is just nails on a chalkboard. The kind of reporting he used to do that I used to like that deep investigative reporting that he was really good at, he doesn't do anymore. He's too busy, and he's out there just doing opinion. And I think his opinion sucks on a lot of things. And Mark Belling, he might do a story like this, but unlikely. I mean, sometimes he does see these kinds of angles. But talk radio could be pushing this, putting the Bucks on record. The problem is that the Bucks ban carry. And so law-abiding suburbanites who want to be protected in Milwaukee, and we all know Milwaukee's a cesspool of crime. That's documented fact. Milwaukee's a place where they should have reason to carry. But yet they can't at a Bucks game, and I would, the argument should be they should be allowed to carry at a Bucks game. That's the freedom has a solution here. So talk radio could be pushing this. They could be putting the Bucks on record. They could be Dan O'Donnell, who prides himself. He could be asking the Bucks for comment. He's a big old Bucks fan. He could be asking the Bucks for comment. And the Bucks probably won't get back to him, but he could at least, when you reach out to them for comment, it at least says, hey, this is a sentiment going around, says that to the Bucks, raises the Bucks' ears that, oh, yeah, people are starting to talk about our anti-gun policy. Now, the Bucks, I'm not under any fantasy that the Bucks are going to change their policy and allow carry because a conservative talk show host reached out to them, but you might even get the media to do it because the media thinks it makes Republicans look crazy. Oh, these Republicans want to make it legal to carry gun at Bucks games. These conservatives, and you could wag the dog because I think the media would think that makes Republicans look crazy, but I think the majority actually support it. Like, yeah, people should be, even people who don't support assault weapons. Well, yeah, a person should be able to carry, if you have a concealed carry license, carry for self-defense when you go to a Bucks game, walking back to your car, people have been assaulted, you know, all those things. Now, again, the Bucks aren't going to change their policy anytime soon, but you put them on notice. You let them know that there's a buzz about this. And I think the media would cover it because they think it's outrageous to allow carry at the Fiserv. But I guarantee a huge portion of the public would be like, yeah, this makes sense. So the media thinks they're putting you on blast, but they're helping you. And this works on, as I said earlier, the 820 works on immigration, works on election security / voter ID. It works on crime. Here's another one. It works on transgender in sports issues. Transgender in sports, that's like probably a 90-10 issue. Maybe I'll be benefit of the doubt, 80-20. Males shouldn't be playing female sports and dominating women. Excuse me. And I think it works on most of the woke bullshit, especially like Black Lives Matter and the rioting. It works on those too. So there's all these opportunities to play offense. The media will cover it because they think that the public is on the side of the liberal angle, and they're actually vastly on the side of the conservative, and it's good PR for the Republicans. So talk radio could be playing offense on this particular issue. The legislature could be playing offense. Now, I'm not necessarily calling for a bill to force the Bucks to allow carry, because of course Tony Evers would veto that. And it's a little heavy-handed. I mean, the Bucks are a private entity. But now another angle here is the Bucks did get $250 million for their arena of public money. And I don't think it would have been unreasonable for at that time for that to have been a contingency. Because $250 million given to the Bucks, that's not the free market at work. So the least they could have done is, hey, if we're going to give corporate welfare to billionaire owners of the Bucks, so they can play their multi, 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 multi overpaid. Now, I'm a free market guy. If the Bucks paid for their own stadium, then I wouldn't call multimillionaire athletes overpaid. But because the Bucks get a free stadium, well, they didn't get a free stadium, but they get $250 million for their stadium, that's corporate welfare, then they should have had to pay their players a little bit less. If every player had to make $1 million less a year because the Bucks have to pay for the Fiserv Arena, Fiserv Forum, then the Bucks players, whatever they did make, $30 million, $10 million, $1 million, depending on how good you are, they'd be worth every penny because dumbasses that love sports are willing to pay it. Not me, but not a sports fan. So they could have put a contingency, hey, if we're going to give you public money for the Bucks Arena, you have to allow carry because it's a public-funded building, so you have to allow carry. So again, without just calling, you know, saying right now, oh, the cars are getting broken into outside of Fiserv Forum, the Bucks have to, should be forced to allow people to carry. Again, that's probably a little heavy-handed. And again, Evers would veto it. But back when the Republicans were, Scott Walker was the one that came running with a checkbook to give the Bucks $250 million for their arena, they could have put a contingency on it to chapter law carry. But even now, they could just use their legislative position, their ability to access media to criticize the Bucks for their policy. Hit the Bucks for multiple angles. Legislators could be calling press conferences in Madison saying, look, Milwaukee's an unsafe place. Crime is out of control. And now law-abiding citizens that are coming to a Bucks game are being made victims by the Bucks anti-carry policy. So they could put them on blast without even actually pushing legislation, but just it would get the Bucks' attention. Hey, we're taking it from conservative talk radio. We're taking it from legislators in Madison. We're taking it from, you know, and the general public is going to start. That's how you build this groundswell of sentiment that the Bucks would take notice of. And then eventually maybe the Bucks like, hey, you know what? We're going to quietly end our no gun policy. Again, that might be wishful thinking, but that's just, I guarantee you do it long enough and it works. It might take years, but eventually you would have success in this issue. But Republicans don't do it. They're too busy, you know, speaking ill of other Republicans and trying to convince Republicans how to vote in the primary instead of letting Republicans decide what Republicans they want to. So that was one issue where the Republicans could play. The news cycle gives Republicans, conservatives, an opportunity to play offense. Here's another one that just happened this past week. I put it on Twitter, Wisconsin's insane gun laws. So there's a school, a guy in Heartland, suburb of Milwaukee, was firing a gun into a house. Then he fled. Police chased him. He barricaded himself in his house in Sussex. This is like a half a block from Woodside Elementary School in Sussex. All the schools in the Sussex Hamilton School District go on lockdown, but when they figure out the guys hold up in this house, then only Woodside Elementary stays on lockdown. Then the parents have to go pick up their kids. They find out, oh, because the parent, you get in a public school, they've got all these like texts and emails, instant emails and instant mass texts that go out. So the parents are instantly notified. When the school goes on lockdown, the parents know within 2 minutes. You get the text or the email, and then they want the parents to come pick up the kids. So they've got tactical officers from the sheriff's department guarding Woodside Elementary, standing out there with bulletproof vests. I don't know if they were AR-15s. I assume that the sheriff's department probably has like M4s, I would think, select fire instead of SWAT helmets. They're guarding. They've got the street barricaded off, the sheriff's department, and they're letting parents in single file cars to pick up their kids, while this standoff with this guy with the gun, dangerous guy, is going on like a half a block away. So you got a school that's on lockdown due to a dangerous man nearby. It's so dangerous that the police are guarding the school with rifles while parents pick up their kids. Yet think about this. The parents with concealed carry licenses who are driving to pick up their kids must disarm with a dangerous man in the area as they drive onto school property to pick up their kid from school. It's insane. It's an instance where Republicans have an opportunity to use the news cycle to push to justify good legislation, repeal of school grounds carry, but they're not savvy enough to do it. And here's another. So every parent that's sitting in an idling car in the mile-long line, because this line to get into Woodside Elementary was a mile long. Mile-long line waiting to get to pick up their child. This is like, and it's crawling. It's like, I mean, some parents said they were in line for an hour. So you got a dangerous man a half a block away. Those are all potential hostage targets of opportunity for the armed subject the police were trying to arrest. And if you say, well, that's ridiculous. He wouldn't have been over there to, you know, that was a half a block away. I mean, he wouldn't have come over and carjacked someone. They had him barricaded in the house. Okay. If they had him barricaded in the house and he wasn't a threat, then why do they have the school on lockdown and why do they have deputies with AR or M4s, deputies with rifles standing outside of the school? You can't have it both ways. Either it was dangerous and making parents disarm because the law makes you disarm. You're a felon. It's a felony. You drive onto school grounds. It's a felony. So there's all these examples in the news that Republicans could latch onto and say, hey, we need to repeal this law so we can protect parents, their ability to protect the kids. There was someone was carjacked outside of a school in Hales Corners. It was St. Mary's Catholic School. There was someone carjacked waiting to pick up their kid from school. Another example of Wisconsin's stupid gun-free school zone law. It makes you a felon if you drive onto school property armed, even as a concealed carry license holder. So again, all these opportunities for Republicans, and again, introduce legislation. It'll get media coverage. And then the news media makes it sound like you're a crazy person, but I guarantee the majority of public's going to be like, yeah, you know what? That's not a bad idea. Republicans don't do it. It's just not in their nature to, and it's, they don't even think about it. I think there is so little pro-gun. The people in the legislature are so not gun people. That they don't even think of these angles. Don't even think of them. Here's another story from this past week that I think is interesting. So Waukesha County Police Chief goes to Mitchell. He's got to fly to some conference. And he had his carry gun and his carry-on baggage. And he gets, of course, stopped by the TSA, and then he gets a fine. And here's the chief of police of Waukesha, not the chief of police of some podunk little town. This is chief of police of Waukesha. Major suburban city. Waukesha is probably what? Third? Would it be third largest? Milwaukee would be the largest. Madison would be second largest. Then I suppose Green Bay. I don't know. Racine, Kenosha, are they probably larger than Waukesha? So Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Racine, Kenosha. Then you're probably at like Waukesha. I mean, maybe Janesville, maybe Wausau. I don't know. But Waukesha is probably, okay, top 10. Waukesha is the top 10 largest cities in the state. So this is a prominent police chief. And he makes an innocent mistake of carrying his gun into the airport. And this is an instance where we've got landmines placed all around the right to carry. The right to carry is a constitutionally affirmed right. The right to carry, the right to self-defense isn't granted by the Constitution, but it is affirmed by the Constitution. And yet there's these landmines all around it. You step 1 foot on school grounds, and your constitutional right to carry suddenly becomes a felony. You drive your car 1 foot onto school grounds to pick up your kids, and there's a dangerous man in the neighborhood, and you want to stay protected, you're committing a felony. Now, it's not a felony to try to take your gun through a TSA checkpoint, even accidentally, but it's a hefty fine. And see, this I'd have to double because it says in the news story that it was a $767 fine, but I think there's more to it than that. I think that there's a potential of like several thousand dollars. I don't know if that's the Wisconsin's, but there's also federal charges that I think you can face, and maybe this police chief just didn't get charged with those. But I'll share this because this happens a lot. People that forget. And then this is with friends like these, who needs enemies? But there was a guy, it's just as distressing. There was a guy, I posted this story on MeWe, and the second response that I got from people was someone questioning the mental capacity of someone who forgets a gun in their bag. Like, you must be a pretty unintelligent guy if you forget your carry gun in your carry-on bag. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Think about all the stress people are under. I've been driving to my daughter's game. I know it's a felony to go on school grounds with loaded guns. I've been driving to my daughter's game. I'm busy. I'm running my business. I'm running Wisconsin Carry. I've got this. I got that. I got grocery shopping. And then I got to go to her game on a Friday night. And I'm driving down the street. And I'm almost to school, to New Berlin West. I'm like, crap, I've got loaded guns in the car. Driving with my knee, grabbing my gun, dropping the mag, putting it in a case. Dropping the mag out of the other gun. I have three guns generally that I keep in within reach. So I'm unloading three guns, dropping them in cases as I'm driving down the streets, just so that just before I turn onto school grounds, that magical school grounds, I'm not committing a felony. So it's understandable. You make carry part of your daily practice. It's understandable why someone could forget their gun. Maybe you intended to check your bag, then you forgot to check you decided instead of checking it because you're running late, you didn't want your bag to not make your flight, so you decided to carry it on. There's just a whole bunch of reasons. But there's landmines placed, so it's a significant penalty. It's not like, oh, there's landmines placed all around right to carry, school grounds, TSA checkpoints. There's no landmines placed around voting. There's no landmines placed around other illegal activity. Look, you speed. You have a legal right to drive. You speed. It's a small non-criminal fine. And cars kill more people than concealed carry license holders. But a lot of times you speed, you get a warning from the cop, hey, slow it down. But you accidentally carry your gun, something you have a constitutional right to keep and bear arms, and you accidentally carry your gun in your carry-on at a TSA checkpoint, huge fine, significant penalties. That's just wrong. So I always give the benefit of the doubt to the armed citizen. I will never sit there and criticize, even though this guy is a cop. It could happen to anybody. And I won't criticize the armed citizen. I'll criticize, look, we have to be willing to abide stupid laws so that we stay out of trouble, stay out of jail, keep our money in our pockets instead of paying fines. But so while I encourage people to be mindful, they're all grown adults. They don't need me to encourage them really at all. But when it comes to discussions of things like this, I give the benefit of the doubt to the armed citizen. I understand why you could forget your gun and your carry-on. And in that situation, the people that I'm going to spend my time criticizing are the stupid state laws and, well, federal laws now for TSA checkpoints, federal laws. And here's what should happen. You're a law-abiding citizen. You have a legal right. You get caught with a gun at the TSA checkpoint. They should just double-check, make sure you were legal to own it. That's fine. Say, hey, you're going to have to take this back to your car. Hey, you're going to have to come someone to come get this. That's what I think would be the fair thing to do. At best, like, okay, you know, it's a $100 fine. No, nothing more serious than a speeding ticket. Instead of, they treat it more like the severity of a DUI than a speeding ticket. I don't know if you, and for people think, look, I don't know if anybody remembered Dan Connery. He was a fill-in host, talk show host for WISN. He passed away from a brain tumor a few years back. But he was a retired New York City detective, great guy. I really enjoyed his show, loved when he would guest host. I think he had a show on WSN, but it was on Saturday or something. I think he was on WIBA. He was on during the week out of Madison, like in the mornings. But I really like Dan Connery. Smart guy, good guy. He was getting on boarding a plane at Mitchell, going through security, and he forgot to he had a gun in his carry-on bag. So, I mean, it can happen to anybody. And it's the stupid law's fault, not the busy citizen's fault. Next thing I was going to talk about, and I guess it'd probably be, do I have any, I think this might be the last topic that I had today. Hang on, I got to check my note here. Okay, my computer. Yep, I think that was, so this, let me look at my, yes, I think this is my last topic tonight. So, Dan O'Donnell, this I've had to this has happened before a couple of years ago where I couldn't stand some of the stupidity on conservative talk radio because you tune into conservative talk radio. This is why Rush Limbaugh was so damn successful because he respected his audience, didn't try to tell his audience what to do, and when it comes to Republican primaries, he trusted his audience. He respected his audience and he trusted his audience. For that reason, he never started throwing his opinion around in Republican primaries. In 2016, when it was, early on, Scott Walker, Jeb Bush, Ben Carson, Chris Christie, who was the governor of Texas, Rick Perry. Who else was running? Of course, Donald Trump. Ted Cruz, John Kasich. I mean, these are all the people running for in 2016. Rush Limbaugh never said who his preference was. He would share angles and experiences that he had with Donald Trump. He would share angles and experiences. He would explain things that he knew about the candidates, but he never said, "Hey, this," but not WISN. You knew everybody was anti-Trump, and it's a, so I've been frustrated with talk radio because you turn on talk radio because you want people that Rush called them. They were the ditto heads. It wasn't that people agreed with Rush. It's that Rush was saying things that people agreed with. And it was so comforting for people. Look, some people, like especially young people and liberals, because there was liberals that would listen, or Democrat, I'll call them Democrat leaning people that used to listen, people that hadn't ever really applied their critical thinking to politics. And when they started listening to Rush and started applying critical thinking to politics, they realized that Rush was right and the conservative angle's right. I don't think like the hardcore liberals, they only listen to Rush Limbaugh to find stuff to play gotcha and criticize and, know your enemy kind of thing. But the reason that people like listening to talk radio, conservative talk radio, is to hear someone express, because you don't hear this, you don't hear your sentiment expressed. You turn on the CBS News, the ABC News, the NBC News, you would get the impression that the whole country is all about woke this, woke that, pronouns, women and men's sports. That's the impression you would get if you watch the mainstream media. But yet when you watch conservative or listen to conservative talk radio, you get to hear for some people, it was just getting to hear your position expressed in the mass media, because Rush Limbaugh had a huge audience, and you knew that you weren't alone. You knew that there were other people that felt the same way that you did, and so that angle was out there. You knew it existed. You knew other people felt the same way. You knew that, so it's not like you were the only one who had seen the ills of socialism and the ills of this. It wasn't because Rush was telling people how to think. It was that it was comforting for people to hear someone express the things that they already thought. That's why they call them ditto heads. Rush would say it like ditto. It's exactly what people were thinking. Not they thought it because Rush said it. They were already thinking it, and then Rush said it, and then it's like, yeah, ditto, that's exactly how I feel. Then there was other people who have a very good conscience, a very good gut feeling about right and wrong, a good morality, but sometimes they couldn't just articulate it very well. Like you'll hear people say, like they know that they support the right to keep and bear arms, but they might not know all the facts about how guns save lives. They just know that they want to carry a gun and they feel safer with it, but yet they don't know how to express when people say, oh, well, then what do you say about all these mass shootings? And they just don't know the subject matter enough to really respond to that in a debate type situation at the water cooler with a so that's what Rush would give those people, is he would articulate what they already felt. For some people, he said what they already thought and articulated the exact same thing that they would have said. For other people, Rush just was able to articulate what they felt but hadn't yet been able to kind of come up with a good way to articulate. But yet you turn on WISN Talk Radio in Milwaukee and it's like, oh, they're telling you how to think, telling you how to think, telling you how to think. Even when they say that they're not, I can't, you know, after the red wave that wasn't a red wave, that it was all the talk radio folks that said it was going to be a red wave, and then it wasn't a red wave, then talk radio blames everybody but themselves. It's like, well, you know what? Maybe talk radio, if you wouldn't have sat there saying red wave, red wave, red wave, some people that said, oh, I don't need to vote, it's going to be a red wave, would have got their ass out there and voted. And there would have been more of a red wave. At the same point, we know there's massive Democrat vote fraud. We also know that the Democrats have massive PR advantage with the media, with big tech. And in the age of such a biased media and biased and slanted big tech, you should never expect a red wave. You should expect to have to claw and fight because the tables are so tilted against you. Now, again, I still think there was some hokey shit going on because, look, even Elon Musk was like saying that he was voting red during the midterms. So, I mean, I'm still of the mindset that I think there was a lot of hokey shit going on. But at the same respect, we know in Wisconsin, we know the Democrats just had a strategy. They were going to go hit the colleges this time. All the young people that want to make sure they can have an abortion, they were going to use that issue. All the young people that Joe Biden was saying they were going to – excuse me. Sorry for burping in the mic. Joe Biden was saying they were going to get free college, get their college tuition forgiven. I mean, abortion and free college tuition, you're going to get 90% of college kids to vote for you. So you put people in voting booths in dorm rooms, and they had a strategy. And so, I mean, and that's, I presume, quote, legal. You know, that's not vote fraud. It's just a snow job on young people. Because here's what I would say to young people. Look, if you want $10,000 of college debt, if you want five figures of your college debt forgiven, vote Democrat. But if you want an economy where you're going to have a six-figure job waiting for you, vote Republican. Do not sacrifice a six-figure job in a Republican economy for a five-figure tuition forgiveness from a Democrat president. That would be my talking point for young people in colleges. But nonetheless, talk radio, I just think is reckless. They sit there and say there's going to be a red wave, and then it doesn't happen, and they blame everybody else when they were the ones telling us it was going to be a red wave. When I say no sacred cows, what does it mean? It means I'm not afraid to criticize Republicans, and Dan O'Donnell is one who and even Jay Weber, like I'm not listening to Jay anymore because I turn him on in the morning, and after the midterms and the red wave didn't happen, they're all throwing Trump under the bus and, oh, we've got to move past Trump. We've got to move past Trump. DeSantis. And it's just like, whoa, chill the F out. We've got 2 years till the presidential election. We don't need to, within 2 weeks, tell the whole Republican listening audience, the whole Republican electorate, what they need to think and who they need to vote for. That's what just pisses me off about Milwaukee Talk Radio. And I think to their credit, I didn't see Clay Travis and Buck Sexton doing that. I didn't see them telling people, oh, we got to move away from Trump's dead. They were like, hey, we're going to have a robust primary. We're going to see what happens. And there's a long way to go. And that's respectful of your audience's discretion, respectful of your audience's intelligence. But Milwaukee Talk Radio, nope, they feel compelled. And Vicki McKenna, not. Vicki McKenna's been cool about it. But Jay Weber, Dan O'Donnell, Mark Belling a tiny bit, but mostly Jay Weber and Dan O'Donnell. They're up there on their shows telling people, oh, yeah, Trump's support has just dropped in half. And whether it has or hasn't, I just like, what's the value in that? What's the value in just Trump's a Republican? What's the value in bashing a Republican? You got Dan O'Donnell. You got 2 hours a day of your show. Spend it playing offense. Spend it talking about the Bucks making victims out of law-abiding citizens who have to leave their gun in the car. Talk about the parents in line and how stupid Wisconsin's gun-free school zone is. Don't sit there and use your 2 hours to bash Donald Trump. But these Republican talking heads like Dan O'Donnell and Jay Weber, they're smarter than us. They got to tell us rubes what to do, who to be voting for, but that we need to get over Donald Trump and it's move on to DeSantis. So, but I firmly believe the reason that we don't win is not the success of the liberals. It's the failure of Republicans. It's kind of a paradox, but it's more about focus. It's a business lesson to focus on what you can do instead of blaming what you can't. You know, this, I remember my dad used to have a thing on the wall. It's called, you might've heard this too. It's called the serenity prayer. You know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I can't change what libs do, but I can change what I do, Nick Clark. And maybe I can change what some fellow Republicans do. The jury's still out on that one. But that's the reason when I criticize Dan O'Donnell, it's because they have this massive platform. And they use it in a way that I think harms the conservative movement. And then this is about 2-3 weeks ago, he throws Janelle Branchon under the bus. You know, Janelle Branchon has been one of the strongest people on election integrity, really freedom-driven legislator in Wisconsin. There's not a lot of them, but one of the good Republicans. And he's on his show he's made this claim over and over. Dan O'Donnell, a conservative, supposedly, on his show, throwing Janelle Branchon under the bus, and he again was claiming that what she did with Adam Steen when Adam Steen was in his write-in campaign against Robin Voss was illegal. This is where people maxed out donations to Adam Steen, and so they couldn't donate any more money to Adam Steen, so instead they donated money to a Northern Wisconsin political party who used the money on Adam Steen's behalf. Now, Dan keeps claiming it's illegal. And I think that's reckless. Dan said this over on his show. Dan's like, oh, this with Adam Steen and what I think was illegal money laundering. He's used that term, money laundering. This is a conservative talking about other conservatives. And I don't know if he thinks he's going to get brownie points because in his media world with his friends that are still with, you know, 620 WTMJ, the libs over there, that he's got street cred because he's willing to criticize Republicans and throw shade on Adam Steen and Janelle Branchon. But Dan keeps claiming that sending money to political parties in northern Wisconsin was illegal. And again, I think that's reckless. I don't know if it's legal or illegal. I'm not a campaign finance law expert. But back in 2010, Scott Walker would publicly say, everybody knew it, he would publicly say that he wanted money because people had maxed out their donations to him, that he wanted money to go to Club for Growth. And nobody sat there and accused Scott Walker of money laundering by saying he wanted money to go to Club for Growth that was going to be spent advocating for Scott Walker and for Act 10. So how is Janelle Branchon or Adam Steen saying that people can donate some money to some GOP counties up north who have very good reason to want Voss gone too, because Voss usurps the voice of constituents of every Republican legislator in the assembly. That should be the core issue, is that Robin Voss, with his tyrannical style in Madison, he usurps the voice of, why even bother having people in Taylor County, Lincoln County, Langlade County, Jackson County, why even bother having them send a Republican legislature to the assembly? Because in the assembly, Robin Voss dictates what everybody does. Voss usurps the voice of constituents of every Republican legislature in the entire state. So that should be the core issue instead of Dan O'Donnell meddling in the Republican primary. And then Dan O'Donnell says like, I like Janelle. She's a friend of the show or something like that. And then throw shade on her again, bringing up the donations to the Northern Wisconsin GOP groups, and money laundering is the phrase he's used over and over. What about the angle of Voss usurping the voice of constituents demanding obedience from the caucus? Elected Republicans, they can't support their constituents. They must do what Robin Voss says. And I just said, why have a Republican representative at all? Why not just have a Speaker of the Assembly and let one representative from one district in Southeast Wisconsin, Robin Voss, determine the Republican agenda for the whole state? So Janelle Branchen gets removed from the Elections Committee chairmanship by Robin Voss, which is not the first time Robin Voss has ruled with a heavy hand and punished people who were against him. Did it to Andre Jacques. But Dan is out there on conservative talk radio, which does have an outside-sized influence on Republican primaries, saying, oh, well, Janelle's just running for the Senate because she lost the confidence of her caucus in the Assembly. Andre Jacques did the same freaking thing. He was in the Assembly. He pissed off Robin Voss, moving legislation that Robin Voss didn't want to move forward. And then he turned around and ran for the Senate to get away from Robin Voss. And that's not to mention that it's common practice for Republican assembly persons. There's three assembly districts per Senate district. So it's commonplace for a Republican assembly person from the Senate district to run for the open Senate seat. Alberta Darling is not running for re-election, and Janelle Branchen is part of Alberta Darling's seat. So there's now three people running for that seat. Janelle Branchen, Dan Knodel, both Republicans, they're both currently in the Assembly, and they're Assembly people within Alberta Darling's Senate district. So they're both running for Senate now. But Dan O'Donnell's sitting there on his show where it's a lot of conservatives and people are going to be voting in the primary saying, oh, Janelle's just running for the Senate because she lost the confidence of her caucus. And I'm like, I just want to reach through the radio and slap Dan O'Donnell and his stupid cadence. Dan O'Donnell does his show like he's reading Shakespeare prose. It's nails on the chalkboard for me. But I can get over that when he used to do stuff that was very intellectual, but now it's just he's so bad at reading the tea leaves that he shouldn't even be, Dan O'Donnell shouldn't be declaring anything, let alone to claim to know why Janelle's motivation is to run for Senate. And I don't even believe the line, oh, it's not just Voss, but the whole caucus lost trust in Janelle. I mean, if you believe that, you're a naive ass MRFer. I mean, look at the situation. Robin Voss rules with an iron fist. No one crosses Robin Voss or they get their nuts chopped off. The reason the whole caucus doesn't support Janelle is because the whole caucus doesn't want to get the Janelle punishment. And surely there's some people who do agree with Voss that Janelle Branchen shouldn't have, you know, been out there pushing hard for election integrity stuff and helping Adam Steen. But surely there's those who support Janelle and despise Voss, but they aren't going to they're not going to buck the tiger and back Janelle. They see what happens when you cross Voss, and they're cowards. And they're politicians, so I mean, cowardly is the dominant gene in the legislative DNA. So it's just, and here's Dan O'Donnell on his show, and again, I haven't listened in several weeks, so I just couldn't stand it anymore. But throwing shade on Janelle, who's trying to run for Alberta Darling's Senate seat, and amongst the Republican listenership, just throwing all kinds of shade. Excuse me. And again, I think that that's harmful of Dan O'Dell. So meanwhile, so then what? So then the fly under the radar, go along to get along, Dan Knodel gets elected as a senator, where a freedom fighter like Janelle Branchen doesn't. I think Dan O'Donnell should have stayed mute on it. Do it some other topic. You don't need, there's no point in doing that topic. So, I mean, given Republicans are the reason that we don't win, I think talk radio's influence on the primary is to blame. And talk radio never accepts blame. You know, it's funny. Back in 2010, they talked about the talk in Scott Walker's administration time. They talked about the talk radio effect, about how it's, you know, the wow counties, the five county area where talk radio was heard a lot down here. Talk radio had such an effect. And that was talk radio's home turf. I mean, if talk radio is losing its redness, if talk radio is losing its influence, shouldn't talk radio look in the mirror? And then you've got like WTMJ. So it used to be there was two conservative talk stations, WISN, and then WTMJ was supposedly conservative. Charlie Sykes back in the Scott Walker era was still pushing conservative issues. So yeah, it seems like talk radio, the talk radio effect is gone. And maybe it's just because WTMJ no longer has a conservative side, and they have certainly a big listenership, and that could be a big reason. But I think the other reason very well may be that when Republican talkers like Dan O'Donnell spend their time bashing Janelle Branchon or bashing Tim Michaels for being, you know, I wouldn't know if I'd say that Dan ever bashed Tim Michaels, but vetting the Republicans in the Republican primary, which just took people from, hey, I kind of lean towards Michaels or I lean towards whoever, to people that like couldn't stand Clefish and liked Michaels or couldn't stand Michaels and liked Clefish. It wasn't just like and I think talk radio polarized people against the others. And then it was hard to roll them back in. They didn't have to do that with Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson had no primary, so there was no. But there was a ton of Republicans that were just like, eh, on Tim Michaels. I mean, I talked to him in New Berlin. I was trying to hand out signs for Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson, and people would take a Ron Johnson sign. They wouldn't take a Tim Michaels sign. And I think talk radio had something to do with that, with some of the stuff they said about Tim Michaels during the primary. I think he lost some people. They lost some people for him and couldn't reel him back in for the general. But I mean, otherwise, I mean, problems with the Republicans. When I say Republicans are the problem, I mean, Republicans, they have this purity problem. I mean, this is not an isolated incident. There was a dude on social media who, I think it was on MeWe, he said he wouldn't support Ron Johnson because Ron Johnson broke his two-term pledge. That was his reason. Couldn't support Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson has been a fantastic senator, ball buster, telling the truth on COVID, telling the truth on, you know, not necessarily maybe the strongest on right to carry issues for sure, but Ron Johnson is definitely one of the good guys, telling the truth. And here's a dude on the Wisconsin Carry MeWe group who you would think would be a reliable Republican vote. He said he wasn't going to vote for Ron Johnson because Ron Johnson broke his two-term pledge. I mean, seriously, libs will support a brain dead radical, Joe Biden and Fetterman out of Pennsylvania, but Republicans turn their back on anyone for any reason that doesn't pass their purity test. And that's the problem with Republicans. They have that purity test, and then they, you know, if Tim Michaels doesn't pass the purity test, boom, nah, I'm not supporting him. I'll vote for Ron Johnson, but I'm not voting for Tim. I mean, just libs don't do that. The libs will support their guy. They'll do what they got to do in a primary, but they'll support their guy. Or the libs will support the Democrat. They don't have that purity test. They push for the most radical they can get, but when they don't, then they support the guy who they got or the gal who they got. Anyway, that's the show for today. Went a couple minutes overtime here, but you podcast listeners won't know the difference because it's all seamless. If I had live listeners, they would have gotten dropped off a couple minutes back. But good to be back on the internet waves here. Hope that you guys are having a great, we'll call it winter, although here in the southern half of the state, it hasn't felt like winter at all. I guess now that we got the end of January, winter's kind of coming. They're saying colder temperatures next week, maybe some snow. So, but yeah, so far for me and the fiance, it's been a fantastic winter. We've been hiking every Saturday. It's just phenomenal. You know, here's something I say. Since I'm banned from Facebook, fascist book, I do use Instagram. Wisconsin Carry has an Instagram page. I have an Instagram page. So if anybody listening happens, I know Instagram's kind of for like the millennials and younger, more so than the Gen Xers, and certainly baby boomers. But if you have an Instagram page, maybe your kids have Instagram, so you do have an Instagram page, you can follow Wisconsin Carry on Instagram. And then, of course, follow me, you know, friend me on Instagram. And then I also, we've been hiking so much. We've hiked like almost all the Ice Age Trail within an hour or 2 hours of Milwaukee. So while we do take weekend trips and hit some of the farther reaches of the Ice Age Trail, we've been finding other places to hike, like unmarked trails. I'm kind of going to places where there's like hunting trails that go through DNR natural areas and mapping out those little hunting trails and putting it. So I've got a Instagram page called Surf and Turf, surf_n_turf. So Epic Adventures by Land and Sea. So anyway, give that a shot if you're interested in seeing some cool hiking places. Otherwise, you guys have a great week. Carry on. Be well armed.
This is Sniper Chick Julie. You've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.